Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, author, and success coach, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie will support, nurture, and inspire you by helping turn your life's passion into your life's work. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Bonnie Gressel. We have another great show lined up for you today. Adina Laver is here with us, and I'm going to introduce her in just a moment. You know, I think that being a holistic entrepreneur is really more about who you are than what you do for a living. You come from a heart-centered place, and you truly want to make a difference in the world. So perhaps this is you, and that's why you've decided to join us here at the show today. So if this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. It's going to be another fantastic show. I always want to take a moment on every show to thank all of you for taking time out of your day to spend that valuable time here with us on the show. I know that the time is our most precious asset, and I always want to make sure that this show is value-packed so that you feel your time was well spent. And I'd love to know what you think. So whatever network you're listening to this on, please subscribe and send me a comment. Leave a review. Let me know what you think, how the show can be made better. I always welcome suggestions. So I'm going to introduce our guest for today, Adina Laver. And then we're going to take a short station identification. And when we come back, I'll bring her on the show. So let me tell you a little bit about Adina. Adina Laver is an international best-selling author and founder of Courage to be Curious, a distinctive personal development company and host of the Wonder Your Way to Brilliant podcast show. Having thought most of her life that she was hopelessly erratic and chronically fickle, hopping from job to job, interest to interest, country to country, Adina finally realized that it was not her indecisiveness, but rather that she was insatiably curious. So as the CEO and Chief Curiosity Officer at Courage to be Curious, she's dedicated to advancing the quality and potential of the human experience by inspiring and empowering those on the path to brilliance, to act courageously and live authentically. You can find out more about Adina at CourageToBeCurious.com, and I'll put her website on the show page for you. So I'm Bonnie Gressel, here at The Holistic Entrepreneur, and we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Adina's going to join us.
You're listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur with your host, Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur is sponsored by M&B Global Solutions, providing individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, as well as book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.
Well, welcome, Adina. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to share with us here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. I am so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you, Bonnie. I'm so excited to be here as well.
You know, I read a little bit about people in their bio, obviously, but there's always more to the story, right? So would you share with us a little bit about your journey and what brings you to who you've become and what you do today?
Absolutely, I would love to. The journey, you know, you can start the journey in any place, in many different places, but I think for the purpose of our conversation to leading us to this point where we're on the show today is I want to begin. I was 43 years old and I was happily married and I was living the white picket fence life and the good salary life and all of those things. And yet the one thing that had always been true for me is that there had always been this nagging voice of something feeling missing. You know, I sometimes felt like I was going through life with one foot in the door where I was and one foot kind of pointed out the door and didn't really know what that missing thing was, but it was just always there, like that nagging hum. And a whole bunch of circumstances led me to a point where I landed myself in a coach training program, and about 43 years old. And in that coach training program, I was faced with an exercise on the very first day at the bottom of a page that said, list three things that make you happy. And I got to that question, and I'm watching everyone else seemingly, at least in my mind, writing down their answers, and my palms are sweating, and I'm wanting to dart out the door. And I've always despised this question. It always felt so difficult for me. And, you know, I decided in that moment that instead of running from this question or trying to hide from being asked about it, that it was time to engage with that question. It was time to engage with the discomfort that I had that I didn't really know. And that kind of started a journey, because as soon as I decided to engage with this question, to figure out what happiness was, what makes me happy, having to acknowledge that at the age of 43, I really didn't know, that started to open things up. And what happened from there is, in order to answer that question, I knew I couldn't just say what makes you happy, because if I knew that answer, I would have known. But I started to ask in small ways if I was if it was about what I would eat for dinner, you know, what would make me happy. If it was about being happy, what would I, you know, do for exercise? What would I go out with this friend or not go out with this friend? And so I started to ask myself questions in little ways. And what that ultimately did is it started to train my mind to become more aware of what else I hadn't asked, what else I'd been avoiding, what else I might be asking questions about. And, you know, a lot of different things opened up as a result of that, but it was became the way to unlock things. And, you know, I shared this story before, Bonnie, that it unlocked for me that a lot of things about my life were in the wrong place. And I had been married, and I was married to a wonderful man, and I had two great kids, and I really would have preferred to be with a woman, and that's ultimately what I did. And, you know, that my job and career were kind of headed in the wrong direction, and I made a change there. And I just started to listen to the universe and to myself differently than I ever had before. And all of that, I would say, and of course there's a lot of things in between, have led me to developing this company I have now. I like to call it a personal development company, Courage to be Curious, which is really about teaching the practices and the purpose of self-inquiry of that kind.
Mm. Yeah, it's amazing how, especially in your story, such a simple, seemingly simple question, what makes you happy, has transformed your life into something totally different, I mean, than it was before.
It really has, and it has transformed it into something totally different. It has also transformed just the way that I navigate life, and I find myself getting curious about all kinds of things. You know, who was I as a mother, and was that the mother that I wanted to be? And who was I as a partner? And, you know, what kind of things did I contribute to partnership that didn't really work? And what things were my brilliance that did really work? And it started to open up the door to engage with curiosity about who I was, how I was living my life, the choices I was making, the directions I was going. And, you know, of course, as always, it's a lot of moments when it's scary to do that, because you can fall into the rabbit hole of like, oh my gosh, either why were these things and why didn't I do anything about it sooner? Or, well, what will happen if I question all of these things? How do I know that I'll know what to do or what might be on the other side of it? And that's why the company is Courage to be Curious, because it does take a lot of courage to ask those questions. Yet, what I've discovered personally and then professionally in work with others is that it's the only way to get to feeling completely authentic in my skin.
Mm, absolutely. And don't you think, I mean, in my experience has been that there are so many people that just sort of go through the motions every day and nothing really changes, and they don't ask those questions.
I think it's absolutely the case, because our brains are wired to do that. Our brains are wired for pattern and habit, and so we will keep doing that. And I'm also aware that, you know, we can go out and we can have lots of conversations, and how many times are we in conversations with people and they're complaining about their job, or they're unhappy with, you know, something at home, or, you know, just lots of things that don't feel right. And you can hear underneath their comments this sense of, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Yes.
And I think that that's the challenge that we want to pose, is that is that really true? Or is that only what we've come to believe is true? That things are unchangeable. Life is just the way it is and you have to, you know, just deal with it. Or is there another possibility?
Yeah, there are so many people, you're right, that, you know, they think, okay, this is my lot in life. This is the way it's supposed to be, you know, and they don't ever question that there even could be another way, and yet, and they're not happy.
Right.
But there's, to me, there's always something, there's always another way to do something. There's always a way around something because we're meant to be happy. We're not meant to struggle and suffer in this world.
And Bonnie, I actually think that notion by itself can be really, really transformative in the sense that it may not always be the case that we believe that we're meant to be happy or we're supposed to be happy or that happy is even the goal. I mean, I grew up I was the daughter of an immigrant. I'm first generation. And part of the reason I struggled with that question about happiness was the fact that we never talked about happy. It was just not a word we had at home. In fact, my mom is 80 years old now, and we recently had this conversation, and I asked her about it. And she said, happy is just not something I ever thought about, even for her growing up as a parent for what she'd want for her child. And happy was never really on the list. So it was very powerful for me when I finally came to recognize that, well, it wasn't that I was deficient, that I didn't know what made me happy, but that it actually had not been part of my upbringing to even consider it. And I think I'm probably not the only one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's such a wonderful point because, you know, it's like people loving themselves. First, they have to do the acceptance thing. They have to first accept themselves before they can ever get to the love part or even liking themselves. And it's really sort of the same with this. You have to acknowledge that happiness is something that you could have or something that is possible, is out there for people. Because if it's not even on the radar, how do you even ever get that far?
Right. Absolutely. And so, I mean, I feel like that is definitely the first piece, is even to put it on the radar screen. And as it was for me, I mean, when I was sitting in that course and the question came up with list three things that make you happy, it is certainly not the first time that the happy question had ever come up in my life.
Right.
It had come up at other times, but I had what I like to refer to as my proverbial carpet, and it was very, very full with a lot of dust and lint and debris underneath it because of all the things I kept sweeping under there. And that was one of them, that question, because I didn't have the tools at the time. I didn't have the community, the safety, any structure, any resources to deal with the discomfort that arose when that question came up previously. And I think that's a really important piece here, because the question can arise, but if we feel either powerless or ill-equipped or too frightened or unsupported, how could we possibly go toward something?
Mm-hmm.
And so recognizing that those are important things, the fact that I was able to go toward that question in that moment really did stem from the fact that I was in an environment with people who I knew could be supportive. I was being given tools in the very moment, you know, that the question was being posed. And I guess a number of other things about the stars aligning correctly, that, you know, which is also the case, things I can name and things I can't name, that allowed for the opening, the crack, you know, love to say, like, it's the crack that let the light shine through. Sure. And in that moment was willing to be cracked open by it rather than erect up a safe and secure wall that would keep me from having to go toward that discomfort in any kind of way. And I think that's an important piece to raise. And once we even do allow the question in, as I did in that moment, you know, I think there's then this second hurdle of the devil we know is better than the devil we don't know.
We get comfortable in our uncomfortableness.
Well, and we have this notion that, well, okay, I may not be totally happy or this may not be wonderful, yep. But how do you know anything is going to be better? I remember when I was in my first, I went to college in one place and then I ended up transferring and I really wasn't happy in the first place. And I remember how many people said to me, well, how do you know it will be better anyplace else? And it was just so poignant to me how many people would have stayed because you couldn't be guaranteed it would be better. Whereas for me, it was like, well, how could I not at least explore if it might be better? Why would I just choose to be in the unhappy place? And I realized that, well, I was a little bit different in that way. It wasn't what everybody else around me was saying.
Yeah. Not everybody's willing to take door number three, you know, because you don't know that whole fear of the unknown is huge for people. And it is, that's one of my favorite sayings, is we get comfortable in our uncomfortableness. That's better than going to the unknown.
Right. And I think that's why, you know, the people that I work with in my practice are people who have found a glimpse of courage in a moment. Mm. You know, when they've said, maybe I'm willing to consider that something could be different and it could be better different. And I may not know anything of what it looks like. And I might be able to imagine all these things that I think could go wrong about it or not be better. But for a moment, there's a spark of courage to match up with that curiosity that allows for the opening to go exploring.
Mm.
And that's when, like, the transformation opens up.
The magic happens, yeah. So let's talk about that. If I was going to, like, send somebody to you, to refer a client to you, what kind of person would that be? What kind of people do you generally work with or see?
People I generally work with or see, I mean, age range, which I think is a good place to start, tend to be between 38 and 58. And, you know, it's no mistake that it happens, but that's the age group, because that's the age group when typically enough wisdom and experience in life has been accumulated and, you know, gotten over the initial hurdles of getting educated or following a certain path, getting a job, maybe it's being married, having kids, or it's having accumulated enough where there's the voices that start to arise that say, okay, well, either is this all there is, or am I on the right path, or why is this happening, or maybe it's showing up and, you know, reaching a really critical point in a marriage or in a career situation, or maybe there's a health issue that raises it, but something provokes the kind of questioning, the kind of curiosity that we've been talking about. And so that tends, I think, just developmentally to happen in that age range between 38 to 58. And so that's firstly. And most of the people that I work with have typically had a professional background. So it's not necessarily, oh, I'm scrounging to make a living, but it's more that I'm trying to figure out where I'm really headed. And they're able to create some spaciousness in their life to do that. They may not always see the space right away, but, you know, there is some spaciousness and there's a compelling desire, because there's this thing that you hit when, I guess, we realize we're probably close to the midpoint of life, you know, whether we're 40 or 50 or something. We know we're getting close to that midpoint. When we start to really wonder, you know, I may have 40 or 50 more years here. Is this what I want to be doing there? And, you know, so people who have typically been professional or, you know, been somewhat directed in their life by something and are now willing to question it. And my practice is interesting. Many people usually assume that it's mostly women that I work with. And I would say about 50% of my practice is men, working with men. And that I think it's a really great audience, that there's just something in the way that this approach that I take here, that we have here, really helps for men who may not naturally come to these conversations to be able to open up and enter into them.
Mm. So tell us a little bit about that approach, or about, I mean, how you, maybe there's something that we can give our audience listening today, a little, you know, piece of homework, a takeaway, something to do that would help them to begin to ask those questions, to have the courage to begin.
Yeah, I would say one of the pieces of information as a takeaway, and then I'll get to an exercise with it, is to recognize that we are, our mind is a story creating machine, basically. The only way we can understand any of our experience in the world is by creating stories around it. You know, we meet somebody and immediately we start, based on what they look like or the first words out of their mouth, we create stories about who we think they are and what their life has been like or what they bring to the table. I mean, we just all do it because it's how the mind works. And so there's this, I have a personal fascination with the neuroscience, how the brain is wired and how the mind works. And I think the first thing I really want to put out here and what I bring into my practice then is the fact that there's science behind here too. Like, we're not as people either defective or great or skillful or not, and all these judgment voices that we can lay on ourselves or lay on other people, that really none of that is actually true. What is true is that each of us is the manifestation or the realization of the wiring that we have accumulated in our brain. And, you know, that's it. And that the science that's beautiful here is that the more we understand that wiring, it's like an electrician coming into your house. If you have an outdated wiring system and things are shorting and not working and stuff like that, like, somebody can come in and we can change it. And the work of this is that there are a lot of wires in there that may have served at one point or were the best ones available at some point, but they don't have to be there your whole life. Like, they don't have to be the ones that go forward, and they can be changed. And I think that that recognition by itself, the fact that everything we've thought to be true or the experiences that we've had, the ways we've been treated, the judgments we've had about ourselves, that they're just a wire. And that wire could be unplugged and another one traded for it to create an entirely different experience. So I want people to have that piece of information for them, the exercise that I, you know, will give now, because I feel like there's a tremendous amount of empowerment to not feeling like we are fixed a certain way, but that we actually are malleable and can change. And so I think from that, I would really invite people to ask themselves, you know, what wiring, you know, what piece of wiring, what story do I have in my mind about myself that really works for me and, like, leads me to either great success, achievement, happiness, and joy? Like, just pick one story I have about myself, you have about yourself, and then pick one story that you have about yourself that really doesn't work for you. And even just that simple piece of thinking about what goes through our minds as stories and not as truth. There's a story, there's a whole bunch of stories that really work and get good results. And for example, I have a story that says, I'm a hard worker and I'm, you know, I persevere and persist. And that one really works for me in a lot of ways. And it's a story I have about myself. And then I have a story about myself that there is something that makes me unlikable in groups that I've had to rewire over time, because I carried that story for a long time from when I was out on the playground as an elementary school child. But I really, really had the story that there was something defective that was just hidden from me, but everyone else could see it, and it would show up and make me unlikable. Well, that story has caused me a lot of problems. I'm happy to say that, like, you know, the rewiring process has been taking root, but we all have them. So I'd invite people to do that little exercise just to get started.
That's a great way to just begin that awareness, because, you know, people just don't think about that stuff otherwise. It's like they don't ask why you do the way you do something or why you said this or whatever. And so it begins that conversation internally with yourself to just notice. And I like the analogy that you use with the stories. I'm a great fan of neuroplasticity myself and know that, you know, we are very malleable and things can change and we always, always have choice. But I love the analogy that you use with that, and that we can just, you know, we can just change it. We can just change the story.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really important to recognize that our entire, like, everything is all about the story, you know, our story about whether we can garden or we can't garden, or how we respond to the outdoors or we don't respond, and whether people like us or how successful we are at work, whether we're a good communicator. And, you know, we have a story for everything because our mind is wired that way. So to start to think of, I'm going to look at my stories and just be curious about what they are, knowing that they are stories that my mind creates because it has to create them, I think can distance ourselves a little bit to say, I can be me and then I can have my stories. The stories are not me. They are just things I've been telling.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Because our, you know, I find this a lot with people, say with chronic illness or chronic pain as an example. As a nurse practitioner, that was my primary target of people that I dealt with. And it wouldn't take really that long for some people that they became their illness. Mm-hmm. They became their pain. Well, it's people can become their stories too, but that doesn't have to be that way. So I really like how you've separated the story from you, from the person.
Yeah, I think just
I love that.
The illness is so important to do. Otherwise, we can become things totally and unintentionally and inadvertently.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, you know, we've talked about lots of fabulous things today. You have so much knowledge, and I'm sure your clients get tremendous benefit in working from you. Is there one thing, like maybe the most important thing that you would like to leave our listeners with today, the golden nugget, I like to call it? If people could remember nothing else because our brains are already so full, what's the one thing you want them to take away from our conversation today, Adina?
I would say one of the core things I, you know, really would want people to take away, and I really, it's part of the deep work I do with my clients, is if we think about this notion, it's very simple for us to grasp, that every single one of us has a different thumbprint, for example, right? We all agree, like there are no two thumbprints that are exactly the same. That if we take that and we stretch it just a little bit further, that every single one of us has a unique blueprint of who we are that makes us completely uniquely brilliant. Mm-hmm. And that our journey on this earth and this time that we have in this corporal life that we're going to live is, if it were to discover and really, really live into that unique brilliance that we are, that's the gift. That's the gift. We were all given a blueprint of brilliance, and it is every single person's is different. And even if 10 people have written a book, your book, if it's the 11th, is going to be different. And if 20 people have sung the song and you're the 21st, it's going to be different because your unique brilliance will be brought to it. So as easy as it is to conceive that we all have a thumbprint that's different, if we could embrace the fact that we have a unique brilliance that has never been and will never be repeated again, and that the gift that we can bring forth in our life for ourselves and for everyone else in the world is to shine that brilliance, that's what I want to bring forward.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That is so it's absolutely so true, but I love the way that you have framed that. You know, I know, Adina, that people are going to want more of you. So tell us a little bit about how they can get a hold of you, where they can find you, the services and stuff that you offer, how they can connect with you in that way.
Sure. So people can certainly find me at the website for Courage to Be Curious, which is couragetobecurious.com. And in there, it outlines the coaching services that I do, which is one-on-one coaching. We're actually going to be starting a cohort model in the fall of people who together as a cohort will wonder their way to brilliant, which is what I like to say that we do. I also have a podcast show. It's available accessed right now through the website at couragetobecurious.com, and the podcast is called Wonder Your Way to Brilliant, where what we do is we explore experiences and tools and techniques and strategies for this process of self-inquiry, of discovering our unique brilliance and bringing it forward. And currently coming up soon is we are hosting a retreat, a two-day retreat, July 31st and August 1st, called The Brilliance of Being. And it really is separating ourselves from all the doing that we do, which can become our story, like, so I am a banker, or I'm a, you know, mother, or I'm all the things that I do, and really connecting with our being, our unique being. And that is, as I said, July 31st and August 1st, and information about that is on its own site at brillianceofbeing.com. And so those are, I think, the best ways to reach out and kind of learn more about the work that we're doing at Courage to Be Curious.
Great. And I will put the website link, Courage to Be Curious, on the show page. So wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can just click on the link and poof, you should be there. And Adina, I know that you have a special gift to offer as well, and that will be on the guest gift page so that people can check that out as well.
Absolutely. We do have a gift that really is a tool for getting started on this journey. And should I mention what it is?
Sure.
So it is an ebook called 5 Game-Changing Questions and How They Can Transform Your Life. So if this whole idea about the stories is resonating with you and you're thinking, well, what kinds of questions would I ask? How would I start the process of getting curious about myself? That's what this ebook is really designed to do. It shares a bit of my personal journey through one as an illustration of this process, and then offers 5 questions and goes into some depth about those questions. How do you begin this process of getting truly curious?
Fabulous. Well, I want to thank you so much, Adina, for taking your time to share all of your wisdom and insights with all of us. Thank you so much.
And Bonnie, I want to thank you for the work that you do of continuing to make available to people the opportunities that holistic practitioners are providing and holistic entrepreneurs and practitioners, because there's such a web of wisdom out there, and you're bringing it forth into the world is a magnificent manifestation of your brilliance. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Now, I always want to remind you that The Holistic Entrepreneur is on several other internet radio stations, including TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and, of course, SpeakUp Talk Radio. So you can listen on your favorite network. Now, the easiest and quickest way to find these links is to go to my website at bonniegressel.com. Just click on the radio show tab for The Holistic Entrepreneur, and all of the links to all the other networks are there for you. That way you don't have to go searching. The wonderful gifts from our guests can also be found at bonniegressel.com as well. So be sure to access the gift page when you're there. Let's all pay it forward and pass on this valuable free information to others. Spread the word, and then we can reach more people. You can help by subscribing, reviewing, and, of course, sharing. Until next week, blessings, everyone.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.